Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the All Crystal Makers Psychic Hour. And it's Wednesday, and we've got some callers here. We're going to be getting to those callers in just a moment, but we wanted to let everyone who's listening and doesn't have the courage to call yet, the phone number. It's 914-338-0164. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we appreciate our callers and listeners joining us on Blog Talk Radio, but more importantly on Facebook, where we have our sites, so you can follow us there. Those are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And the number to call further conversation, 562-596-7818. Again, the call-in number, 914-338-0164. And we're going to take 203 first.
Hi, it's Pat.
Oh, hi, Pat.
Hi, 712-53.
Okay. I thought that was you, but then I thought the number looked a little different. Anyway.
Okay. I'm sitting in the front porch with the dogs today. If the traffic's too loud, please tell me. We'll all move back. But they let me out to the front today.
Okay. So what's new?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what to ask. I sort of think maybe I should focus on me, but it's all based on chance. Great frustration with what vets say. And now it's, again, sorry to bring the subject up, but now it seems to be leaking feces. And I think maybe I've found more information in books and online than what the vets are telling me or telling me to, you know, pay for. So I'm confused and wondering, is my intuition okay? Should I just leave them alone? Should I put them on a fast? A fast for a couple of days. You know, I was reading in one of the books that this well-known vet puts his dogs on fast once or twice a month, how it can clean stuff out digestively. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. And one vet would say, well, then do a scan for $400. And so far everything has been, in a sense, a waste of money.
We have the birthday of the dog. He was born in 2008, right? The dog?
Yes.
2008. So he's 11.
I wouldn't put him on a fast because the dog could go into shock. And you don't really know if it's leaking like that. I don't know. There might be something wrong with the digestion. The doc,
right.
Doctor, what were the other opinions of the vets?
You know, I just paid $225 for a homeopathic doctor to look at the test and say, why did they do that? Why did they do that? And just laugh. And then he pretty much argued with me and said, I don't think it's anal. I don't think it's blood. I think it's feces. Well, he's right. But he never went beyond that as far as what that could be about and what to do. I just got nothing from him. So frustrating. But he's right. I think it's feces now.
You paid a price for him. I would contact him again and say, I want to complete the rest of my payment to you. That, you know, what do you suggest I do now? What are some things you can do? So I would call back instead of being frustrated. But what are the other veterinarians? What are their theories?
Both of them are more traditional, and they would, well, one vet said, if we can get rid of the diarrhea, then let's try a pain medicine and then do a scan. Initially, she said a scan, but she said sometimes pain can create the panting. But, you know, the panting is a little better.
I heard him panting, actually.
No, you didn't.
Well, I heard panting in the background. Maybe it wasn't him.
You know, so the dog is panting and it has, like, leakage?
Initially, it was panting and drinking a lot of water, so we were looking at Cushing's and things like that, and anal gland leakage, which we thought was separate. Now, pretty much the focus is on the feces leaking. Not a lot.
Is the dog still panting and drinking a lot of water?
Yes, but not as much. That's all a little better for the first time. So maybe it's better.
Well, you know, I think there is a marriage between the traditional and the homeopathic, because this could indicate something serious.
Yeah.
And I don't know if just homeopathic measures are going to work. And if he didn't follow through and tell you, well, you need to at least gather information as to what he would suggest you do.
Yeah.
And then there, with that information, maybe consider your next move. But if the dog is panting and has diarrhea and leakage, even if it's kind of stopped, this could be more of an internal problem that it could be rather serious. So, you know, in lieu of the fact of having to pay more money for a scan, I think you have to first get yourself involved with the homeopathic doctor and get some more information from him.
That's going to be expensive too. I mean, what course of action?
It shouldn't cost her anything.
Nothing to continue with the homeopathic doctor?
She's already paid him and he never followed through on what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try that. You know, I think the scan, I think you're right. I think the scan, if there is something going on, it's serious, which means I won't do anything. I can't afford to do anything about it, and I don't think I would with him. It's just the scan would probably just show me, does it end now, or do I just,
There might be ways to treat this. If the dog is 10 years old and you don't have a lot of money to invest in the dog.
11. He's 11 years old.
Well, my best information for you would be to call back the homeopathic doctor and say, look, I want to know the price I paid you. I want to know what we can do. What are some suggestions you have that I can treat the dog at home? And if he refuses to do that, God, I would put a stop on the check if you paid by check.
Probably should do.
No, I gave him cash.
No.
Cash
well,
in charge.
I would be very polite, and if this man is worth anything, if it is a man, he'll give you some information. Why he didn't, I don't know. But I would call back and make sure you get that and then get back to us.
Okay. I'm really questioning him. I stood up at one point and I said, do you have some tissues? And I tapped his rear end because the guy just didn't believe me. And then I said, do you have a glove? And I was going to put my finger inside him. But I was like telling him what to do.
So the problem is, I mean, it sounds like you don't have a lot of faith in this doctor, and I don't know what recommendations he has. Why did you choose this particular homeopathic?
Read about him online, and he's basically the only one in my area. And, you know, people in the book I'm reading right now, they recommend him, but who knows why? You know,
so
and it may be.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to go on about this.
No. That's what we're here for, but go ahead.
Well, mainly I'm looking at myself and saying, am I getting off track and negative? Do I need to stop and just calm down? And I don't really have faith in any of them at this point. As far as, you know, really not sitting down and discussing with me the terrain of all of this. You know, other than, you know, charging for this test and that test and $50 for 15 minutes. So I'm just, I
and
can't
how much
read.
Did, How much did you spend on the homeopathic veterinarian?
$225. $50 for 15 minutes. And most of it was me repeating myself again and again and again and again. And you know what? At that point, he's right. It was feces, you know? So he was right about that. But I said, you know, I don't know. I kept pumping him for questions.
Would he prescribe a course of medication? I mean, homeopathic medication? I'm thinking this is going to cost more money. I mean, you're saying it's free, but it's homeopathic medicine is not free.
No.
Well, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping for that. Nothing. You know, and I read in the book for anal issues, you know, no one's said the word anal gland disease, but I go to books and I read it everywhere. Anal gland disease can be a number of things. No one has said this. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you can try to treat the dog. I mean, the dog is 11. You could try to treat the dog yourself with the information you have and try those procedures. But I would be very calm, call back the homeopathic doctor and say, could you kindly give me some information on what I can do
to treat the dog?
Right.
That part we didn't cover while you were here, and I feel that for what I paid, I would like to know what some of your suggestions are. And just be very polite and go from there. You're getting too riled up. You know, talk to him, find out what he says, and then start to maybe help the dog with those suggestions.
Yeah. And I am getting riled up. And one thing that did it was I did speak to an animal communicator who I've listened to before on the radio and respect him. And right away he said, you need to make a decision and understand, you know, what the dog wants. He's uncomfortable. It's like, I didn't have a clue to that. But he's really talking about put him down.
It's not what, you know, to talk to what the dog wants. That, you're not going to know what you're doing. That's not the point. The point right now, and that information, I don't know. The point right now is to call the homeopathic doctor.
Okay. All right.
Be very polite. And he has some good recommendations. So just ask him and say you're really strapped for money, but what you paid him, you just wanted to follow through on what you could do. I don't know why he didn't
recommend a course of treatment. That's what's very surprising to me.
That's part of the mystery. I mean,
he just said, well, he has this and goodbye. I mean, how did the visit end?
We didn't really come to a conclusion. So I said, all right, so let's say, because he was sort of arguing with me, I said, let's say we get another anal gland infection, which is why I'm here. I'm afraid it's going to turn to bleeding. What would you do? And he gave me an answer. We'd put antibiotics in him internally. And I said, okay, great, thank you, and left. But that's not happening. It's feces now.
Okay, so just call him back and say, look, kindly tell me what I can do homeopathically or whatever while I have the dog at home, given what your diagnosis is.
And I think the scans, we talked about the scans before, I personally didn't then and don't now think doing all these expensive tests are a good idea because it's going to, you know, drain your funds. He's 11 years old. I mean, you know, keeping the dog comfortable and maybe treating things on a superficial level that aren't, you know, getting him on treatment for Cushing's disease, testing for that. I mean, that's too much.
Well, that was already done. I'm sorry, because I'm so rattled, I did forget. One thing he kept saying was change the diet. So I'm giving him chicken and not much else, you know, vegetables to supplement it, but mainly off grain. That's what he believes strongly.
So are you cooking for him?
Oh, yeah, I've always cooked for him, but I've done half and half grain and then cooking.
So more now protein-based?
More now of meats, mainly meats and some vegetables. And I've read that, too, that diet can change, can make a big difference. So
okay,
I'm going that direction.
You know, maybe the dog just had a bug or something. But I think in about 3 or 4 days it's going to clear up, but do call.
Okay.
And let us know. Let us know.
I will.
What happened?
Well, I'm sorry to keep you on so long. Thank you.
No,
I appreciate your patience.
It's okay. That's what we're here for.
Thank you both.
Help the dog. Okay, and you.
Thank you. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we have a call from 773. Hello.
Hi, it's Joellen from Indianapolis.
Joellen.
Hi.
Joellen.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, a few years.
Oh,
how are you all?
It's Joellen.
From the Waltons?
No, Joellen.
No.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. Of course, no, I'm just
from
kidding.
Indianapolis.
Joellen was a character on the Waltons.
Hey, Joellen, how are you?
I'm all right, and how are you all?
We're doing okay. Doing okay.
Good.
You must be on a break. Are you on a break?
It's the end of the school year, and I just I didn't have finals today for the kids, but tomorrow I do. So yeah, it's a little bit of a break.
Okay, so let's. I believe Joellen's a 30 equals.
Yeah.
What's your birthday?
It's been a while, Joellen.
Yeah, I know. It's been a few years. How are you all?
Fine.
I'm glad you guys are doing okay.
Huh?
Well, I tell you, did you want my birth date? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, let's get your birth date again, because I don't remember it. I don't remember it.
Sure. 3/31/67.
But I believe she's a 30 equals 3. I think I remember that. 6/7/17. Yeah. 3 equals 3. Okay. So go ahead.
Well, so I'm, you know, teaching graphic design and photography at this school,
mm-hmm.
and it's a school that they have me and a couple other teachers on at 4/5 schedule. You know, they have so many, they offer so many electives that we're not quite full-time, and this is the fourth year coming up that they're going to be doing this, and it's pretty frustrating, but I just figure if a door closes, another one opens, so I'm wondering if y'all have any perspective on if freelance work or photography or graphic design is in the plan, and what you think, what advice you can give.
So the question, you're saying that you're not getting enough hours. They're not putting you on full time at your school, correct?
Correct.
And
it's not one of those things where you have the afternoon off. It's a rotating schedule. So I am there full time, but I'm only teaching 4 out of 5 classes.
And are you pursuing anything in the graphic design freelance or photography area thus far? Have you looked for opportunities?
I haven't. And it just kind of made me a little nervous, just because I did when I first moved here to Indianapolis, and it was slim pickings, and I just also freelance tends to it just seems so kind of scary,
daunting
to me. Let's just put it that way.
Daunting, but my suggestion, maybe Neil would say something different, is that you need to start putting yourself out there. Do you have a portfolio that you can show of your work?
I have old stuff I have to put it together as a portfolio, but you know, my work is from before, you know, from about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, so are you saying that you would need, you want newer work in the portfolio? God, there's a lot of wind. You hear the rustling?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Are you saying you want to put new work in your portfolio rather than the old stuff? I mean, does it matter really that it's 4 or 5 years old?
I guess not. It's just, for the past 4 years, I've been spending all of my time and energy just doing lesson plans and grading and preparing and redoing and things like that. So I really haven't had the time to do my own work.
You know, there's a sort of visual image I'm getting, and it might be symbolic, or maybe it's a reference point to go somewhere else when you think about it. But the visual image I'm getting centers around Hawaii. Now, what is your connection, Benny, to Hawaii?
Not much. I mean, I know, a couple people that live there, but they're not close friends. They're just acquaintances.
Well, if you see, my theory is that it might be symbolic or a reference point. So, who are the friends that are there? Can you briefly describe them, who they are?
Well, they're, like I said, they're just acquaintances. One of them is a guy I used to be a flight attendant with, and another one is a girl I used to go to high school with. But
the acquaintance, it doesn't matter. I mean, in the energy field. So
there's a reference to high school and to when you were a stewardess. Okay. So and you're not getting enough hours at the school, and you want to increase your hours, but in the school curriculum there isn't anything that is readily available to you. Is that what you're saying? You're trying to find freelance work?
Correct.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
I'm just wondering if you all feel anything that I, which direction I should be going for.
Should it be photography, should it be
graphic design?
I do feel something, but you see what the area that I'm on, which we don't quite know why yet, has something to do with Hawaii. Now that might have something to do with photography in your area. Or it could have to do with art design. I'm not sure, because when the image came in, I saw almost like a beautiful painting, like colorful flowers and just kind of decorative patterns. So I'm not sure yet if that would designate photography or more of the art
graphic design.
But it has something to do with the commercialism regarding the patterns or the colors that represent other countries or other regions. Now, we go to the theory of representing patterns or photography or color designs from other countries or other regions. I mean, that has to do with many things, because every culture has their own. You could look at a painting from Mexico and identify it readily. Hawaii, identify it readily. The Southwest, identify it readily. There's something to do with regional art that might be incorporated in either your photography or your
graphic design
that has to do with regional art. That's my first bare thought on the issue right now.
Okay.
So, when your photography, what do you photograph? What is your?
I mean, quite honestly, my passion is more graphic design, and
okay,
I just teach photography because I understand it so well, and they're only beginning level students anyway, and. It's more about the composition.
It sounds like the graphic design then is maybe more the way you want to go. In graphic design, I mean, you do commercial graphic design? Do you design stuff for businesses and things like that? Like logos or?
Well, no, you don't understand. I haven't done it for so long.
Well, when you
know, about 5 years.
Yeah, but when you did it in the past, that's what we're asking. When you did it in the past.
I worked for a company that I was their in-house, and I did mostly ads.
Okay, right. So this isn't too difficult. If you were going to do graphic design now and you had the world open to you, how would you do it? Where would you apply yourself? If you had your choice, Joellen, what would you be doing in terms of graphic design?
I'm not quite sure. I really honestly.
You got to get more direction on what you want to be doing and have a vision for it before you, you know, go forward. I mean, you need to figure out what it is you want to be doing and where you want to be doing it.
Well,
how things are going to fit into her school, because she seems like she's working. I mean, during the school year, full time.
There is something there. There's a vibration of something there. We're trying to, in a quick radio read, trying to locate where that vibration is. And graphic design is fine, Joellen. It has something to do with regional art design. I don't know if you can go online and look at companies that, you know, that have to do with Hawaii, and they're looking for a graphic designer for their company. You might start there.
Yeah, like someone who sells, like a macadamia nut company or something like that.
So you might start as a starting point looking up companies that are connected to Hawaii. Don't worry about what your connection is. Worry about more what we're picking up on. And first of all, see if there's any companies that are seeking a graphic designer for their own company label or their whatever they do. What I'm getting around you is a burst of a lot of colors. And the reason I chose Hawaii was because it looked like a design out of Hawaii. So I'm not sure. That's where we have to begin our search. And if we're trying to enhance your income, other than going through the school, and you want to do something more freelance and something more creatively freedom where you're getting paid for it, I would suggest that you start to look online at companies, starting with Hawaii, that are looking for a graphic designer. Is that possible for you to do or not?
Well, sure. The internet, you can do anything. So, yeah, I'll give it a try.
Give that a try first, because I do. If you're calling to say, well, do you feel anything? The answer is yes. And then it has to do with, and if you say, well, what's the big impression? It has something to do with country, regional design, something to do there is the starting point.
I could probably check to see if a friend of mine that owns a travel company, if he needs some freelance work.
That would be great start. That would be perfect. A great start. That's
he owns a travel company, and it's funny because before you said Hawaii, I wrote down bird, and bird symbolically, I mean, the migrational pattern of birds, that's associated with travel, so that could have been why I was picking that up. But, Good start.
I mean, the vibrational energy of it is promising. It's got a promising connection. So that might
be. Well,
that's
good.
Yeah. And if you start there with the travel agency, that would be a place where that would be great to start. Start there.
Fantastic. Well, that's really good. I appreciate, you know, just at least, at the very least, you know, someone kind of boosting up my vibes and making me feel better. Because I just got the bad news last night and today. And so, but I keep telling myself, when a door shuts, another one opens. So,
when a door shuts, another one opens. And this could be where your journey is taking you. You might have only so much karma at that school, almost only so many points, karmically speaking. So
this
shift might be meaningful. And it might be significant because it's taking you on a journey that you have to go on in this lifetime for your own behalf.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that it can develop into something else where she won't be teaching at the school anymore.
Yeah,
so,
that might be drying up. Who knows?
But keep us posted, Joellen, on what happened.
I sure will.
Thanks for checking in.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye. Hi, 571.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Thanks. How are you?
Good. This is Sonia.
Hi. Sonia, I can't remember with a NY or a J.
J.
Okay.
S-O-N-J-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brian, okay. You're always good at picking up on the divine intervention that's going on around me.
Your birth date again?
Oh, it's 4/23/68.
3/19/68. All right. 4/5/6/9/19. All right. All right. What is your question? What's going on?
I'm heading up to New York in a few weeks and
3/3/6.
I just want to know what you might feel around that. I have a bunch of things going on up there, so I'm still trying to get everything straight.
What?
Go ahead.
Real quickly, you have to say something?
No. Go ahead.
I just want to ask you, what distant connection do you have to do with writing, like writing a book or doing anything with writing material?
I'm a writer. I'm a writer at heart. That's, my essence is in writing, but it's not what I'm doing for my career.
Well, it doesn't
That's
matter.
Okay.
We're hooking into that plug just to maybe get the ball rolling. So validation
yeah.
there.
I was going to ask if there's business related, if the New York trip is business related or if
family.
It's regarding family.
Yes.
Family?
Yes, family.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So
and I have go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I have it might happen that my birth family and my other family will be there at the same time. So I guess that's
so
the nervousness.
You're adopted?
Yes.
Oh, and so you've reconnected with your birth family. Do both sets
that
of family?
That was some time ago.
Okay, right. But that's what's brought you to this point. So you've reconnected with them, and now you're going to be seeing them, but possibly with your adoptive family?
Yeah, they might be both there at the same time. Not sure if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, that's nerve-wracking, and it would be a first meeting for everybody?
No. It's just that I don't know how everyone still feels about each other.
Oh, okay. So it's happened before. What was the visit like previously?
Tense, but I just know it affects the mother that raised me.
Right, of course.
I love them both, but that's there. And then there's a concern with the children. Well, not the children, with the family. They're going up for camp for the week. So
your children?
Yes, my children.
And they have camp. They have camp for a week in New York.
Anyway, I just wanted to know your thoughts around travel and New York.
Well, I think that in the best of worlds, Sonia, when you look at life and you try to make some meaning out of the turmoil or the conflicts, I mean, it seems like it's not something you can really help. If your biological family and your adoptive family might meet and there's tension. So it's not the end of the
yeah.
world. So there may be tension, big deal. And your kids are going up for camp. I'm much more centered on something else, and that is for you to write a narrative about your experience in this regard. There's some kind of autobiography or something about the personal odyssey that you're going through in this journey, that where others that have been conflicted by adoptive parents and biological parents and having children and the whole situation of being a woman that is in the center of this and trying to experience it and also maintain her autonomous life is more of a important journey that I feel you need to examine. And so I write a narrative about what's going on.
That's why the writing came in, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, as far as writing is concerned, how much energy are you putting into writing?
I'm working with engineers all day, so I'm in a totally different mindset.
Right. So
the
it's
creative
hard to,
side wants to come out, but it right. it has to find opportunities for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're talking to psychics, and we're here to delve into the into a deeper layer, a more enriching
yeah.
layer. I mean, unless you have something specific, I want to say something to this person. This situation is coming up, and two people hate each other. Do you see, you know, unless you have something specific to ask us about the practicalities of your forthcoming experience, that's one thing. But to get to the meat of why you're going there, there's something deeper going on. And you can surround it with all kinds of, well,
excuses,
you know, I'm not in my head.
All that,
my head's
yeah.
not in that place. I work with engineers, but I'm going up to New York. I want your thoughts on the matter. And the thoughts on the matter is that it's an enrichment of an experience that you should record at least in a diary that maybe you can put together later at some point. But I would go like a reporter. If you work with engineers, then go to the technical side of your journey and report the facts like a news reporter.
And my thought is, as you're saying that, if you are going there with that mindset, it's going to be easier to deal with any discord or uncomfortable vibes that might be going on, because you're going to be more in a neutral position.
Yeah, you're going as a victim. You're already already going like you're going to be victimized by everything, instead of being in charge of everything and being a higher observant of what's going on. Now, maybe you're going as a victim because you have certain childhood vulnerabilities and it's hitting into your emotional attitude, but you're an adult now. You're an
right.
adult now, and you need to not approach the trip to New York like you're going to be traumatized by it.
Okay.
Okay.
And I know it's hard. You have children at home. How old are your kids?
Teens.
They're teens. Well, I mean, they're a little more independent than if you had, you know, like
yes.
10-year-olds, for instance. So there should be time you can carve out of your evening to put energy into writing. I mean, even if it's 20 minutes, you know,
oh, yeah.
and get yourself into that creative headspace, because it sounds like that's where your passion lies. And I mean, you know, Neil and I are both very creative people. We spend our lives doing this work, but we have our own areas of expertise in the arts, and we both put time and energy into them despite everything that we do on this level. So you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Did that help at all, or are we just talking in the wind?
No, that's fine. I wasn't even going to go to the birth family thing, but.
But did you, I mean, are you debating whether you're going to go or not?
No, I don't know if my birth mother's going to fly up or not. So it's not really a point I was really thinking about until I got on the phone with you.
Well, yeah. Who cares? If she flies
right.
up, she flies up. If she doesn't, she doesn't. You're
exactly.
building your life on expectations that make you nervous. Just go and experience it. If she shows up, she shows up. If she doesn't, she doesn't. She might show up. She might feel too conflicted. I don't think it's, you know what? I don't think it's important. She will or she won't. But if you're
exactly.
facing, if you go biting your nails, wondering if she's going to show up or not, you're exhausting your energy in worry. And so what you should be prepared that she is going to show up. Not be upset if she isn't. And if she does show up, just go with the flow. Just experience it. And if they're having trouble. Yeah. And if they're having trouble, they're mature. I mean, you were, you know, adopted into another family. So what? So this is what happened. They need to
yep.
deal with the here and now. They made decisions. You were too young to be a part of those decisions. They made the decisions. And they should really... Oh, you know, stand up to them and all meet as a family, because it was about your welfare. One couldn't hold on to you, the other one did, and they should be working as a team. It's To me, it's...
Well, yeah, I mean, she's not going to be able to control that aspect of it.
No,
I mean,
and I don't know all the circumstances, but I wouldn't be wasting my time feeling traumatized whether your biological mother was going to show up. She does, or she doesn't. You're an
well,
adult
it's a,
now.
I mean, it's understandable that there's some guilt, you know, in I mean, I can empathize with your position, but, you know...
For about 10 minutes. But, you know, after that, you got to get down to practicality, Sonia. I'm not being insensitive. I'm being practical and psychic. And that is that as I get older, I see a lot of people wasting time worrying and a lot of people wasting time procrastinating and stagnating. And it doesn't, you can finally get to an age where you can look back at people who are below you in terms of age or whatever and say, listen, sometimes it's hard to listen, but to me, with my experience, I would say that this is a journey you need to go on and embrace it. Instead of worrying about it, embrace it. You survived your years. You have wonderful children. They're going to camp and you're about to meet the whole pool of people that have been involved in your life. Look at it that way.
Okay. Anything you want to say, Sonia, in response?
No, that's fine. It wasn't, I'm one of those people that wants to plan 2 months ahead of myself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The trip is when? What month?
Oh, next month.
It's next month. Okay. Well, you have some time to mentally prepare.
I wanted to know if there was any feelings around that.
Just talking. Say that again.
I was more concerned about travel and, how was going to go.
Travel's going to be fine. There's not going to be any tarantulas on the plane, and you're not going to get fired.
No, last time I had a traumatic back injury, so it was
on the flight? On the flight?
No, I don't fly. I drive.
Oh, you drive. I was going to ask. Where are you located? What state?
In Virginia.
Virginia, so you're driving distance.
Yeah.
No, I don't think. I mean, take a
fun road trip.
Yeah.
Take some over-the-counter pain medicine if you have a backache. Nothing's going to happen. And do you have dialogue with your biological mother as we speak? Do you talk with her? Well, then ask her if she's going to show up.
Well, it might happen. She has a lot of trauma going on herself. So.
Yeah. Well, your family seems to have a lot of trauma. And to me, I don't know. A lot of that is self-created. It doesn't have to be there. Sometimes there's real reasons
I imagine her adoptive family is more stable. Would you say that they are?
It's just one person. They're both just single people. So.
Well,
it's just their own stuff.
you're a victim of your own childhood anxieties. You still carry them. How did you get that injury on your back last time?
Oh, just waking up the next day and trying to pick something up.
Yeah, it's amazing how you can,
you have stress
tweak something
in your body. You're carrying too much stress, worry, childhood anxiety. No wonder your body doesn't know what it's doing when it wakes up in the morning. You got to get clear head. you got to start to think strongly about being in charge of your body and not being a victim of it. You're a victim of your own anxieties. You can get rid of them. I don't know if we can answer how to do it on this show, but bluntly speaking, you can get rid of them by accepting a different kind of reality. You're alive. Your feet are on the ground. You have no terminal illness.
Right.
You're dreading things because your brain is geared to wanting to dread things, expecting it. And you've been conditioned by life. And we're saying get rid of that program. You can throw it out. Do you have a lot of clutter in your house?
Oh, the normal Torian clutter.
Okay. Well, normal. I'm constantly trying to fix it. The answer is either no normal or a lot. And you say normal. Get rid of some of the clutter.
Yeah, I think normal for me, but it's getting better.
Okay, but you had a problem. You have too much clutter in your brain. your brain is geared towards anxiety. You got to recognize that and somehow get rid of it.
Well, hopefully this brief time helps you, Sonia. Did you feel better at all? No.
Yeah. I just have to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And
be in charge.
Not let other people dictate.
Yeah, and remember the part about the creativity. There's a part of your day that you can reserve for that time, and I think that probably will help balance you as well.
Of course. Yeah. I've been working on two plays.
So you are writing.
Well,
a bit. Two plays.
It hasn't all gotten down where I want it to be. So.
Well, that's okay. Whether it's gotten down to where you want it to be isn't the point. But if you're putting energy into it, that's encouraging because you should be doing that. If you know, even if you have a full time job.
So the plays are family dysfunctional plays.
No.
What are they? What are the plays?
Well, it's more supernatural.
Oh.
Oriented.
Well, then you can think outside of the box.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, then...
I'm a remote viewer.
A lot of writers...
I can get out of the box pretty easily.
Well, a lot of writers use their medium to get out of the box, and then their lives are havoc, you know? You have alcoholic writers that are shoot themselves in the head. But you got to make it... You got to bring a balance. You don't have to be the stereotype tormented writer that channels their anxieties into their art form and then their personal lives are a mess. I don't think your personal life is a mess. I just think you have some anxieties that are going on that are of concern to you. And we're not minimizing that, but we're telling you how to tackle it.
Yeah.
And work on your plays. I mean, that's good.
Yeah. And the idea about the autobiography and approaching that family visit like a reporter is going to help you, I think, stay more in a neutral position rather than be set off by your emotion.
Right.
Okay. So hopefully that helps,
sounds
Sonia.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. We have a caller from 509. Hi.
Hi, Kristen. This is Erica.
Oh, hey, Erica.
Hi.
She's 29/11/2, and her birth date, you're born in December, but I don't remember the birth date exactly.
December 4, 1993.
Okay.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
29/11/2. Okay. Hey. So Erica is a, you're a corrections officer, right? Is that what your job title is?
Yes. At Juvie. I believe
right.
It, basically.
Youth Center. So is your question about work today or something else?
No. My grandpa's dog passed away in December and he was about 11 years old. He was a white poodle. And,
oh, interesting. You know what's really interesting, Erica, real quick, is that we have a caller, she's still listening, whose dog is 11 years old right now. We were dealing with the dog on the first call. So it's a little unusual. Okay. So the dog... was a white
passed
poodle
away.
And passed away.
Unexpectedly at the vet. And it's been a few months now. And I was thinking about gifting my grandpa a red toy poodle. They're like a cinnamon red color.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking to him about it yesterday, but since he lives with his son and daughter-in-law and kids, they recently got a German Shepherd. So he's like, I don't think it would be a good idea because they bring this German Shepherd in the house sometimes. And
right.
I just don't want, big fights because I don't want that dog to damage the dog or hurt the dog or anything, the toy poodle. But this toy poodle is so cute that I'm like, if you don't want him, I'll take him. And eventually you'll change your mind and you'll just can have it. And I was wondering if you think that would be a good idea if you see.
You mean to get the dog yourself and take care of the dog, and if your grandpa eventually wants it, that he could take it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, I agree. Yeah, Neil's shaking his head no. My thought is the problem is you're going to get attached to this dog and not want to give it up.
You can't have the dog bond with you and that you're the family, and then you throw it over to your grandfather. You're not thinking correctly.
That's like,
and you can't bring a poodle into where a German Shepherd is and change that dynamic.
A toy, and it's a toy poodle. We're not even talking about a full-size poodle. We're talking about a very small dog.
No, get the dog idea right now.
I mean, your grandpa, there's a dog in the home. How long has the German Shepherd been in the house?
Well, when Junior passed away, the white toy poodle, they brought that German Shepherd like 2 weeks later.
So there's, I mean, your grandpa has a dog in the house. So, there's a pet for him to connect with,
replace him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but you can't. But it's not a matter of trying. You're putting that poodle in jeopardy if you give it right over to your grandfather, and it's too confusing, and you're putting the dog's life in jeopardy.
I agree.
And if you decide to have a poodle yourself, under the intention of maybe giving it to your grandfather, you're going to rip that poodle apart when you switch it over, unless you're planning to keep the poodle and you die. And then your grandfather gets it. That would be different.
I mean, how much time do you have for a dog anyway? I mean, you're at work full time, I'm imagining. And the dog would be alone all day. I mean, I know people work and have pets, but, animals require a lot of attention.
Who the German Shepherd belongs
to?
The German Shepherd, the
grandfather lives with his children, and they have kids, and the dog belongs to them.
And he doesn't. Well, your grandfather's in a bit of a mess because he lost his dog. He's got grandkids there, a dog. He's accommodating a dog in his home that doesn't like him. I mean, that's messy. But the way you're trying to correct it is going to complicate things. It's not
the worst.
It's a horrible situation to put a dog into. And you're going to have to sweat this one out.
Okay.
You know, go ahead.
What if I, kept the dog for myself and I had my grandpa pet sit him for a few hours and then I can pick him up and then basically my own?
So my question, Erica, is how much would you have gotten a dog otherwise if this situation with the death of the toy poodle didn't occur?
No, probably not. I would have never looked into it.
So she works full time. I mean, I don't... You're thinking of an animal as an object and not as a living being, and getting a dog, you know, because your grandfather lost his dog is not a good idea. I mean, you wouldn't have wanted a dog otherwise. So only reason it seems that you're bringing a dog into your home is because of your grandfather. And that's not a good reason.
Yeah.
No, we don't recommend it.
No, okay.
No.
I mean, you have to think that animals need a lot of attention, care, and love. I mean,
they're your family.
They're your family.
You can't just,
they're like kids.
You're going to be gone all day, and then you're manipulating this dog so your come on, Erica. Just your emotional state and your concern are commendable. But the way you're executing this is sloppy. It's not, that's not the answer yet. Maybe there'll be other answers later, but not that's not the answer right now, because you're putting the dog in an unstable, relatively emotionally unstable position. It's going to be alone all day, and your grandfather's going to come and pat it for 2 hours, and I don't think it's a good idea.
Maybe when I get a house of my own, which I'm thinking about doing next year, becoming like a homeowner, I can bring my grandpa to live with me, then get him out of that mess where he's at, and then bring a puppy.
Yeah, because your grandfather, how old is your grandfather?
Like 79.
79. I mean, the only thing about, you know, that situation is that your grandfather is in, at the end of his life. I mean, you know, maybe he has 10 more years. Hopefully he does. But if something were to happen to your grandfather, then you're going to be responsible for the dog. Bringing your mm-hmm. grandfather in is not a bad idea. And if he wants mm-hmm. to get a pet, I mean, and you're open to it, I suppose that's okay. But then you're mm-hmm. going to be responsible for that dog, and you don't really want a dog.
You know, there are, if you're going to put money into something, because a dog would be putting money into something, there are therapy yeah. dogs that visit people's uh-huh. homes. And that would be a better situation, to have somebody come in and let your grandfather bond with a dog that maybe comes in once a week or once every other week and uh-huh. spend time there. That would be your better bet right now, because that dog belongs to an owner and they're therapy dogs. They uh-huh. actually make trips, and that might be an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think okay. my grandpa has had enough time to where he's like, you know what, I just don't want a new dog, because if it dies on me, it's just going to kill me. And he literally said that.
Well, yeah, there you, so I mean, so there's your answer.
Let it go.
But yeah, I mean, there's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds okay. like he doesn't really want another dog anyway. So I think the
yeah.
therapy idea is a really good suggestion. At least he can, you know, have some time with the dog,
mm-hmm.
but not have the responsibility of caring for it, or that, you know, an attachment that's going to be, you know, heartbreaking
mm-hmm.
if the
yeah.
dog is to die. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, though, for the advice. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for getting
uh-huh.
in touch. Okay, bye.
Yep. Bye.
Well, that filled up our show. We have no time left today, but perhaps we will get into a discussion on Friday, and we also hope to have more callers. So please join us then. Thanks for listening today. Bye-bye.